eat of every tree of the garden? From his first sentence, the serpent already laying the seed of doubt within Eve's mind, making God out to be a restricting God, a God that withholds. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You don't have access to every tree in the garden? You deserve access to every tree in the garden. You know, Eve from the get-go said, that's not the case. God said, we can eat of any tree of the Garden of Eden except the one. And that's when the serpent used that against them. The one thing they didn't have. Saying in verse 5, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will open, listen, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That's the full sentence there. We will be like God, knowing good and evil. That's the whole thing. That's the only real thing that they get from eating, is that they're going to know good and evil. But that key phrase there, you will be like God. You will be in control. You will have control. You will have even more power and dominion. Sounds like a great deal, doesn't it? He makes God out to be a selfish God, a harboring God of all, God harboring all the power for himself. I'm here to tell you, brother, newsflash, God has all the power. He's omnipotent. That's what that means. He has all the power. We don't. God blesses us with certain degrees of power. God blesses us with certain titles. God blesses us with the ability to have dominion over the kingdom of the world and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, God is above all. However, to Eve, in this moment, in this situation, she had just heard that despite having rule over all the earth already, her and Adam both, they could have even more. They could be like God. Power that man already had, and the grandiose idea of being more, of being like God, that went to their heads. And they wanted more to the detriment of themselves and of mankind as a whole. All this to say that from the get-go, we were given the ability to have dominion over the earth, to subdue the earth for ourselves, given control over the whole world from the get-go. And we messed that up. Why? Because we wanted more. We wanted more power. We wanted more dominion. We wanted more control. And that mindset is one that any of us can have today. Because like Adam and Eve, we want to be in full control of every aspect of our lives, even the parts of our lives that we have zero control over. You know what we don't have any control over? We don't have control over other people. We have zero control over other people. Yet we get mad because of how other people act in the workplace and think about how much better things would be if they didn't work there or if we had a position over them to reprimand them ourselves. We get mad at how people drive. Boy, oh boy, do we. We get mad at how people drive. And sometimes we wish we could just slam right into them. That'll teach them a lesson. We get mad at how people present themselves online, whether it be how they dress in pictures online, how they talk online, and wish we could just moderate the website so that we can get rid of the things that we don't want to see. Yes, that sounds great. I get that. But we don't have control over it, brother. We have zero control over the weather. Yet we get mad depending on the weather conditions. We make plans to do this or that outside, to go out to the store, to go out with friends. Then comes a thunderstorm. and hard rain out of nowhere. It messes up everything so that we can't do these things. And then there's the major weather events, the severe thunderstorms, the winds, hurricanes, the freeze, hail. We stress out about it. We worry about the damage. Things that are not in our control, i.e., the weather. We cannot just switch off the weather, yet we get mad, we get upset, because we cannot control it. I get that. We have zero control over when stuff breaks, yet we get mad or stressed. The TV gets knocked off the wall and breaks. The engine light comes on in the car. Favorite T-shirt gets a hole in it. I get that. We have zero control over when we get sick, yet it is a point of stress and sometimes anger. Yes, I agree. I get that. I can go on and on. Now, we can do our due diligence in all of these things, yet there's going to be things outside of our control that happen. We're going to, without a doubt, encounter the wrong kind of people, despite how much we want to be peaceable with one another and get along with one another. We still are going to deal with damage and delay for weather conditions, accidents happening, stuff happens. We try our very best to stay healthy, but we get sick. We cannot control these things. What now? Do we blame God? May it never be, brethren. But we can sometimes think that way. And we can sometimes act that way. Why did God make this thing happen to me? Why did He let me get sick? Why did He make me lose money on this repair? No, brethren, stop thinking that way and stop acting that way. I say this because maybe we never think these thoughts. But what about our actions? Maybe we've never thought these things, but maybe we also didn't think to trust in Him during these things. We only looked at Him after the fact. We like being in control. We like thinking that we have 100% control of any given moment of our lives. And then when the moment comes that we are no longer in control, we want to give up. We want to get angry. We want to get stressed. We want to lose faith in God because we think He's acting against us or testing our control, and that causes us, instead of doing the right thing and recognize He's in control, what we want to do is we want to double down and try to get back our control, only to fall flat. Because why? We chose to act without Him. Has this ever happened to you? The desperate need for control, to the degree that all hope, all faith in God, all morality, all sense of self is abandoned. and the fight to take back control because you're driven by anger, by stress, by insecurity, by pride. Stop. Again, I get it. It's hard not to do these things sometimes. We like to be in control. We talked about that from the beginning. We love to have control. And when we recognize situations where we're not in control, we get frazzled. But we need to accept the fact that we are not in control. Who's in control? With this in mind, let's talk about that. Hopefully, we can develop the humility needed to be able to not just accept that we are not in control, but also to give God the glory for it. Why? Because the truth of the matter is that God is the one who is in control. Now, let me be very extremely clear for a second here, brethren. I do want to take a minute to address a misconception about this idea. You're going to hear denominational ideas that all things are God's plan, that because all things are planned or predetermined, predestined by God. We've talked about that plenty in previous studies, and it's just nonsense, brethren. Malarkey. There's a difference between God controlling and God being in control. God controlling overrides the scriptural idea that we see about free will. Some denominations deny free will. But in Scripture, anyone can see that we do have free will given to us by God. We are neither His puppets nor robots. We have free will. Whatever decision I make, I make. Because that is the gift God has given to us. Now, that doesn't take away from the fact that God is in control. Not everything happens for a reason. Some things are accidents. Some things are inconveniences. Some things straight up are mistakes. But God being in control means that He is active. Active doing what? Active in listening and active in doing. How do we know this? Because of the power of prayer and the power of providence seen in the Word of God. And hopefully in our very lives that we can look into that and see that in our very lives. That we can see our prayers being answered. That we can see moments where providential care happened in our lives. We've discussed the power of prayer many a time with one great passage that stands out, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. But I can't help but be anxious for this thing. I don't have control over this situation. I stress out about this situation because I have zero control over it. I want to have control over it, but I don't. Take that to God. Be anxious for nothing. Why? Because we can't control everything yet. We can trust God with the things that we cannot control. And even the few things we do control, we can trust God with as well. We can trust in God to be with us during each of these things, bringing these things before Him in prayer, because we trust Him with these things. Let's look back at a couple of other kings in the Old Testament. You know, we talked recently about Asa in 2 Chronicles. We recognized he was a good king. We talked all about he was a good king, that he was loyal all his days. But even in that sermon, I said one thing. What did I say? He made his mistakes. Namely, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, in verses 12 and 13, we see one of these mistakes he made. He did not consult the Lord about his sickness. It says, verse 12 and 13 of this chapter, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. We talked all about Asa being a good king, loyal all his days. Yet even the most loyal people can make mistakes. That's seen all throughout the scripture. With pretty much everyone who is loyal to God. Asa's mistake here, seeking doctors and not God. Now that's not a sly against doctors per se. But the fact of the matter is, God is greater than the doctors. There are things doctors, despite their best efforts, cannot fix. So on the flip side, look at another Old Testament king, Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. It says, in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I walked before you in truth with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. He gave something outside of his control to God, something that devastated him to his core to God. The very thing that he was told to his face was about to happen, he brought it to God. I wanted to say, it says verse 4 to 6, and it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court. He wasn't even done leaving the building yet. That the word of the Lord came to him saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Man, Hezekiah's prayer said in faith, while he was on his deathbed, added 15 years of his life. The power of prayer. That's the power of trusting in God with the things you cannot control. There's nothing that's going to fix this. He was just told to his face, you're about to go. Get your affairs in order. Hezekiah could not magic away the sickness. He couldn't heal himself like he was Wolverine. He had no control. But he knew he could trust and one who always has control and came to God about his sickness. Because again, God is active, actively listening, actively doing. Jesus himself says in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, giving a parable about prayer, says, then he spoke a parable to them, listen, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying there was a certain city, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, listen, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Will he really find faith on the earth? This teaching, as seen in verse 1, to pray and not lose heart. The persistent widow had to bug an unjust man, a human judge, in order to get the justice she desired. Not God. Yes, you have to go to him from time to time. Yes, he does things in his own time. But God avenges speedily. Why? Because he is active. He is now. He is doing now. He is listening now. He is in control. And we who are always going to be facing situations outside of our control need to trust in him. Jesus asked at the end, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Keep faith, brethren. Keep faith in the one who is always in control, not self, who is hardly ever in control. Keep faith in him who is active, who is doing, who listens, who fulfills. He fulfilled Hezekiah's request. We talked last Sunday evening about, in Genesis chapter 24, him fulfilling Abraham's servant's request. While he was still praying, even, brethren, God was already putting everything into place in that situation. God listens and God does. Why? Because he can. He is in control. And in that control, he does great and amazing things that we could never do because, again, we are not in control. We cannot trust ourselves because of that fact, because we are not in control. So now let's talk back to ourselves for a second, because hopefully by now we've accepted that we are not the ones in control. Just a couple more minutes, brethren, I ask of you. I thank you for your patience this morning. We're not the ones in control. Let us talk about the one and only thing that we truly have 100% control over. Look in the mirror, brother. What did I ask you to remember earlier when we were talking about the video game controller analogy? I asked you to remember that the video game controller gives you that certain sense of control, but in reality, it only controls the player character. And nothing else. That being said, the only thing you can control is you. The only thing you have control over is the person you see that faces you in the mirror in the morning. You have control of you and you alone. You can't control other people. You can't control the weather. You can't control when you get sick. You can't control circumstance. You can only control yourself. How do you conduct yourself in these situations? How do you conduct yourself when the uncontrollable things happen in your life? As we stated earlier, God gave us free will. Every decision that was ever made was made in our own free will. Adam and Eve, when we talked about them earlier, they took of the forbidden tree. That was of their own free will. Asa chose in his free will to seek doctors and not seek God. On the flip side, Hezekiah in his free will chose to seek God and to pray about the situation. Abraham's servant in his free will chose to go to God in regard to his mission. We can only control ourselves. That's why we're told in Scripture to have self-control. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, we see Peter lists several things that we are to add to what? Our faith. And one of those things being self-control. And to that self-control, patience, perseverance. There's a deeper study there, but we don't have time for that today. And Paul, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, discusses the fruit of the Spirit, among which are self-control. Meanwhile, in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, Paul warns of certain types of people that will come forth in the last day, people that are doing wrong, and among these, those without self-control. Self-control, or temperance, depending on your translation, is seen as something we need to add to our faith. It is seen as a fruit of the Spirit. It is seen that if we are lacking, we're going to be like them. We're going to be like the world. We're going to... Proverbs talks about if you have no rule over your spirit, you're like a city with broken walls. We as children of God who put our faith in him need to recognize that God is great, that he is the one that is in control, that we can never be in control of most things, but at the very least, we can be in control of ourselves. The question now is, what are we doing with ourselves? especially in these situations beyond our control? Do we do like we talked about earlier and get mad and get stressed out, fight for control from a place of pride and insecurity? Or, let's be honest, brethren, more often than not, if we do those things, we are going to be severely disappointed. But with God being in control, how can we ever be disappointed in Him? So instead of this fight for control, how about we accept the fact that we only control ourselves? And then, within that, surrender to the One who is always in control. In that surrender, ourselves are included in that, so that it is not my will be done, but His will be done in my life. It is not me trying to control every aspect of my life, but laying down my life to Him, trusting in God in all things, especially the things that I cannot control. But even the things I do control, the one thing I do control, me. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. I tried not to put this in because this is easy for me, doing the Proverbs class on Wednesday night. But I love this verse. I'm sure we all do. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. This is the New American Standard, 95 edition. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. In all your ways acknowledge Him, brethren. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. My challenge for you, brethren, surrender. Stop trying to hold on to the feeling of control in your life and learn to let go of the things you cannot control, giving them to God, who is always in control, who is active, always active in listening, and always active in doing. And who makes the pathways straight but Him? Let the Lord, who is always in control, take the lead in your life. You control only yourself. So in your self-control, first of all, develop self-control in your own life. That's a journey right there, brethren. But it's a well worth journey to have that self-control, to have the ability, the discipline, to be able to lay aside all these ungodly things and to focus on godliness and to focus on Him. So develop self-control, and in that self-control, make those right decisions by consulting God for the right paths, by doing your due diligence, but trust in God above all else, and bring all things to Him, no matter what they may be, and no matter what your power may be within those situations. Do not, and I repeat, do not ignore God in your life. As a matter of fact, whenever I was taking a break from developing this sermon, I came across a little picture online. Just scrolling. Don't doubt God. Ignoring Him will cost you. Recognize Him in your life and know that He is always in control. My question for you, have you given God all the control? Have you surrendered to God entirely? We're about to sing a song called I Surrender All. Let this resonate with you so that we may give God our all, that we may give God everything to Him. And if you're here this morning and are not yet a Christian, recognize you do not have God in your life at this time, but you can have God in your life today. If you've heard the word today or in the past and have come to believe on it, we encourage you to act upon it. We want you to act on it. Repent of your sins. Turn away from your sins entirely and turn to God. Confess the name of Jesus as the Son of God and you can be baptized today. Wash free of your sins and be raised to walk a new life with God. With Him as the lead, knowing that you are safe in His realm of control. And if you're already here this morning as a Christian, but have allowed sin back into your life, whether it be something we talked about today or something else entirely, brethren, make your life right with God today. We do not know if we have tomorrow, so repent of those sins today. Confess them to God in prayer, and He is faithful and just to forgive you of those sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And we are here for you too, brethren. If you feel the need to confess before you, brethren, we are here to listen, to meet you with love and encouragement, to pray for you and be there for you, to help you. If you're subject to the invitation or need prayers of this congregation for help in any way, please come while we stand and while we sing.